listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Great moments in Cleveland Browns history today on Cleveland Browns Daily. Jim Donovan, Jason Gibbs taking you down memory lane. Spurred on by Dave DiNatale asking Jason about to ask me some of my recollections of those great playoff wins by the Cleveland Browns. And I have another Jason Gibbs for you before we go to Scott Petrak, who's on the guest line right now. And we'll join Scott in a moment. But this will allow Scott to hear this story, too. The year that the Browns lost in the fumble game in the AFC Championship game in Denver, in the week leading up to the game, Channel 3, we made a deal with Ernest Biner to pay him, I think it was $1,000 for the week, to appear every night on the newscast with us at 6, and then we would tape something for the 11.
Nice.
So the week went on, and we're doing these great reports with Ernest leading up to the game. And as the game goes on, Ernest is having the game of his life. And is the only reason the Browns are in the game, you know, late in the ball game in Denver because of his heroics, along with Kosar getting it going in the second half. But a big reason was Biner. And I'm sitting there saying, I mean, we have – not only is this a great game and is he playing great, but we've got him to show – you know, to be the hero of the game. And then the fumble happens. So he does an amazing interview after the game where he says, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to stand up here and cry? I mean, I'm a grown man. I'm not going to do that. It was amazing if you were in the locker room. But he comes home the next day, and the news director at Channel 3 at the time says to me, hey, we want to have Ernest Biner on live on the 6 o'clock news. And I go, I mean, can't we just give the guy a break?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, come on. But as news directors are known to be, they want to just keep going after it, just press it a little bit more. It's a distasteful side of the television business. So I called Biner up and said, hey, Ernest, I know that you know, our deal kind of elapsed last night in the game, but we were wondering if you would come on one more time with us. And he agreed to come on the newscast live, and he did it on his right out in front of his house. And do you remember those starter jackets?
Oh, yeah.
And remember the shiny Browns jacket? And he had on, he came on. We set up a live shot right outside of his house. And he came out, put the earpiece in, took the microphone. I mean, this is now the day after he fumbles. And he comes on the news. And again, he gives the most incredible emotional interview. And I said to him finally, can I ask you this? You've had the game. You've had a long flight home, and you've had the whole day. Have you replayed the play in your head? And he goes, Jim, I have to tell you, I have already replayed that play a million times in my head.
Wow.
It was amazing because he's an amazing guy.
He is.
You know?
No, he's fantastic. We've had him on numerous times, not just Browns Daily, but just about every show here in this
building.
And
didn't he just write a book, Jason?
Yep, he
did. Does it call Everybody Fumbles?
Yep.
Everybody Fumbles. Not this guy, though. Scott Petrak joins us right now. Incidentally, our trip down memory lane was brought to you by the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scott writes for them. They not only get the news, they spell it right. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I am great. Did you play golf today?
I did, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Now, yesterday I watched when you lost in the playoff to Bubba Watson and the Travelers Insurance Classic. So that was too bad. You played very well, though.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Today, we have been talking about visually, okay, visualizing if and when the Browns, on a positive side, when the Browns win this year on Sundays in the regular season, what will the game look like? You know, how will it play out? And have you played that out at all, or do you want to play along?
Yeah, no, you know what? I think the Browns know how they want it to look, and it's a tight game in the fourth quarter.
There you go.
They scored a defensive touchdown, maybe, and got to 21 points somehow.
We've said that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of games are going to come down to the fourth quarter, and Josh McCown, because he's the guy going to be playing quarterback, is going to have to make a play. And we saw it last year when they won games early in the year. Brian Hoyer would make a key throw in the fourth quarter, and he'd get a big catch, or there'd be a broken coverage, you know, the Hawkins play, the Gary Barnage play, and I think that's going to have to be the recipe that they're going to win games. And a defensive touchdown or a kick return for a touchdown wouldn't hurt.
Now, that is doable, and it's doable to have a very good year. And Mike Pettine certainly knows the blueprint of that season, and it was those 2 years that he was the defensive coordinator with Rex Ryan with the Jets that they went to those AFC championship games, because sure. That's how they won game in and game out. They were playing with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. They didn't want to give him too much. They had great running backs. They had LaDainian Tomlinson. They had the kid from Iowa, I believe, Sean Green. They had a lights-out defense, and they played good special teams. And they went to the AFC championship game because, Scott, not only, did they play the great defense, but that's a pretty good recipe to win on the road. And late in the year, if you're going to be in the playoffs, you're going to have to win on the road probably.
No, that's a good point. I was talking to Joe Thomas right before minicamp ended about Josh McCown, and he said that he never makes the wrong read, and mm-hmm. he never gets confused by the defense. And if you compare it to Mark Sanchez, he's a rookie. So there were mistakes there that the Jets tried to limit, and I think you can be freer with a veteran like Josh McCown, who's got a good arm, and I was impressed by his arm and his athleticism. For a guy that's turning 36 at the end of the week, that was one of the things that impressed me about the offseason. So I think you can have you can lighten up or open it up a little more with him than you mm-hmm. would have with Mark
right.
Sanchez.
Right.
But we haven't seen that this defense is an elite defense yet. I think it has the pieces, but last year I wouldn't say it was elite. I thought it was good, but not elite. It needs to be elite, and we have to see the production from the running backs, who are all young. The Browns don't have a LaDainian Tomlinson to rely on like those Jets teams did.
Yeah.
So I think for me, those are the question marks if this recipe is going to work.
So now also, before you came on, we had a ton of callers here today, and they dialed in, and they are all, and I didn't tempt them or anything or throw this out, but almost to a man, they all mentioned Duke Johnson. Everybody was excited about seeing Duke Johnson and what he can do in this offense. Are you?
Yeah, count me among the masses, Jimmy. That was one of the things that I'm really looking forward to seeing. I thought he showed us, he wasn't out there a ton in the offseason program. We saw him a little bit, and I saw some electricity that really impressed me. I don't know how John DeFilippo is going to use him. I know he's going to use him a bunch. I think he'll be split out. I think he'll catch the ball. I don't know how many carries he's going to get, but I think he's going to have an impact, and I think you need that impact because while we saw glimpses from Weston Correll last year, I don't think the two of them is enough. I think you need that extra guy in the backfield. I think Duke Johnson has to be that guy.
And I mentioned this, and see what you think. I don't think he is certainly one-dimensional, because everybody seems to be captivated by the fact that he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know that the other two can or can't, because they really were not given the opportunity to do that last year. That was the offense. I don't think it was their fault. Wilbert Montgomery kind of led us to believe that was the offense. We run the ball. We do not need the running backs to catch the ball. So the jury's out on whether or not they can do it. This kid can definitely catch the ball out of the backfield. But he can also be a true running back. He can run the football too.
No, I agree with that. I just don't know how many carries. When you look at a guy and, how many touches can he get? Can he absorb 25 hits a game, touches if you count carries and throwing the ball to him? That's a lot in the NFL these days. I don't know if you would hand that off to a rookie right away.
Right.
But I'd like to see him get 18 or 20 carries, and then you divide the rest between Correll and West. I think there's still question marks with those two guys. As well as they played at times last year, I can still flash back to Brian Hoyer having to tell Terrence West where to line up. So these guys still have to prove something to me, and so does Duke Johnson. But I've been impressed with what I've seen from him.
Yeah, are you talking about the time in Pittsburgh when it looks like they've really captured the momentum in the game and they lined up for like a third down and one and they were lined up wrong?
There was one. I think there were about a dozen times.
Oh, there were others.
Yeah, and then the game in Jacksonville where
he danced around on the third
and short. There were just issues that kept cropping up.
Okay. When they went into the draft this year, I kind of came out with this motto: whoever we pick, I really want to see them on the field on opening day. Now, last year that did not happen. Manziel would have been a push to put him on the field on opening day, and Gilbert obviously was not ready and not ready for a lot of the season, if any of the season. And those were two really high picks that they got little to no contribution last year. Now, I want to see these guys get on the field this year. So I think Shelton, if healthy, and he'll be on the field. I have a feeling the other kid, Irving, might be on the field early.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. We talked to DeFilippo right before minicamp ended too, and he said he's penciling him in at right guard. You know, and I think John Greco's going to give him a battle, but I think the Browns would like it to be where Irving starts at right guard, and you have John Greco as a kind of super backup.
Right.
You know, he can back up.
What they needed last year, right? They needed that left.
Right, he can fill in at center. You know,
right.
Get him the reps where he's the backup center, where last year the Browns didn't know what they were going to do when Mac went down. So I think that's what they want. So then you got Shelton's going to play. Irving will probably play. I'm sure Duke Johnson's going to get touches. And then I want to see Nate Orchard, you know, because
yeah.
I thought that was a big need in the offseason, that pass rusher.
Right.
And they addressed it. Now we have to see Nate Orchard step up and fill that role.
Well, it's not long to wait, Scott. We're only a couple of weeks away. Enjoy your time off, and we will see you under the baking sun here in Berea.
I'll be there. Thanks, Jimmy.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Jason Gibbs, it has been a pleasure.
Jim, awesome job.
I mean, I had a great, great time today. Nathan Zagura will be back. He'll be with Jason coming up tomorrow here on Cleveland Browns Daily. I think I'll be back next Monday and Tuesday.
I was going to say, next Monday and Tuesday with
next
Matt
Monday
Wilhelm.
Oh, all right,
yeah,
Matt Wilhelm.
You and Matt. And
okay.
Then I think it's you and Nathan the following week again.
Okay.
And
well, I'm looking forward to it. That was a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody who called in. Always great to be with Jason Gibbs. Enjoy the rest of your day. I am going to turn the lights out literally here in the studio here in Berea. Last guy in, turn out the lights, and I'm the last guy in here to Berea today. You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. For Jason Gibbs, I'm Jim Donovan. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.